double again. I want to see a triple doink.
It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Dicker the kicker. Triple doink sit in. Doink, 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 doink.
Double doinks and sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
Not the Panthers this year, man.
My name is Fernando.
I am Travis.
I am Chris.
I'm Jimmy G. Too much Duval boy.
Too much Duval boy. That
back.
That Waffle House coming back out and hitting you just a little bit.
That was
back to back weekends. I had Waffle House in Atlanta. You guys had some Waffle House in Jacksonville. Living our lives is what we're doing.
Why does anyone do a Waffle House a second time? Is my question.
I mean, I'd go back again. It'll be a few years from now, but you know, maybe next year.
Vikings play the Jaguars.
Depends on what time we're out there.
But all star breakfast, double hash browns. Smothered and covered. That was a good meal. Until it wasn't.
Until you had to.
See, he made the mistake of not going all the way. You go all the way.
All the way, oh, yeah. That looked like something out of a toilet.
It sounds like a great meal at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
100% it was.
1 o'clock in
Except
the morning.
Except we had it at 10 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, there's your problem.
There's your problem. You guys in Jacksonville.
Listen, here's a guy that wanted to go there. I couldn't come back from Jacksonville with him without going to Waffle House. Our Uber driver gave us the best place in Jacksonville to go get shrimp and grits, fish and grits. You want some of the grits in the morning? He said, this is the place you go. He's a big fat dude. And I was like, I'm going to trust his opinion on the grits meal. But I knew we had to go to Waffle House. So instead of going to the place that we should have gone, we went to Waffle House. And I just looked across the room. It's one of those things, you know, you don't want to be right. But you just watch everyone like eating it. And you're just like, I told you.
I'd rather go to Bojangles.
10 o'clock in the morning is not when their best crew shows up.
I mean, we are talking Jacksonville, so should we just dive into that game? Does anybody want to...
Straight in?
Do you want to talk more about the Waffle House experience and all the different
people
we saw there?
Is that the only thing you
want
to talk about?
Jacksonville's great, man. We had a blast out there. Stayed in a... It's like an older part of town. They're on the up and coming out there in Springfield. We were just 2 miles from the stadium. We had a really good time. The house we stayed in was great, except for the fact I didn't have hot water for 3 days, which was a bummer. But I mean, we hit up a karaoke bar out there. Remind me a lot of the Gillies. Rest in peace. They walked in, haze of smoke over the top. You knew they were smoking inside the bar. It's illegal. Doesn't matter. You're not going to say anything at that bar, the Boondocks of Jacksonville. But we had a blast out there doing that.
When we say Boondocks of Jacksonville. It was the Boondocks of Jacksonville.
Oh, no, our Uber driver showed up. We ordered an Uber XL. This is a fun story. Uber XL. Guy shows up in Toyota 4Runner, which I know has 3 rows of seats that could fit, you know, all 6 people in there. He did not have a 3rd row, and we all just kind of looked at him. And we said, well, we ordered Uber XL. He's like, well, 6 people aren't going to fit. I guess you could just sit in the back if you want to. So we just sat in the back of the truck and just drove through Jacksonville in the back of the truck. Jacksonville, Florida. McBee's out in Jacksonville, Florida. Maybe that's our...
Oh no! All right, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, final score 34-3.
Yeah, now the top half of the game.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's dive into if we can talk about. It was my favorite game of the week. You guys know about this guy named Josh Jobs?
Oh, I thought you were going to Carolina.
Are we not really going to talk much more of the game?
Do you really want to talk about the game?
Well, his team did put up 34 points.
I mean, by all means, go for it.
It was a very close game. Until it wasn't.
Nah, he's just being an asshole.
That's a douche move. Go for it. Okay. You get a chance.
I did not really appreciate why they tried to go for a CMC a touchdown.
Let's talk about CMC not getting his record by that point. Everyone knew where the ball was going at that point. They stopped it. They did it. You guys beat the hell out of us. My only sad thing was the girl that rode the Jacksonville Jaguar outside the stadium was my saddest point of the trip.
Yeah, it was this big Jaguar outside, and everyone... Dance on the grave by just jumping on, taking pictures on it. Right. Yep. Niner fans are assholes.
Let's go back to Dobby Dimes, though.
Dobby Dimes.
Dobby Dimes.
I mean, First of all, he's like taking over most of the headlines with just what's happened to him this year, and like taking over. Like, you gotta be happy that they're not talking about Taylor Swift anymore as much. Like, he's like moved ahead of Taylor Swift as far as what's important in the NFL right now.
I mean, she's in South America right now, so.
Is that what it is?
I mean, like, I still saw a bunch of TikTok videos of Travis Kelce waiting under the stage for her to like come back.
That is an Arizona jersey.
That's all right. That's all right. They got to update that.
They don't even have them.
No, I saw TikTok this week. They had to show him where the locker room was. He didn't know the locker room
was. Well, yeah, it was probably his first time at U.S. Bank Stadium.
It was.
He put up the greatest first half I have seen in a long time. I believe the score was 24-3 going into it. That touchdown run he had, like spinning out of it, and then just he pointed like he was going to throw it downfield, and then just beat the defender to the pylon.
It's not a visual medium, man. We can't see your hands.
All right, all right. But it was a thing of beauty.
Just imagine John.
There's one thing. This is the most annoying thing about being a Vikings fan and watching the Vikings. Up 24-3. That second half, it looked like they were almost just trying to run out the clock. Like, we got this huge lead. They only managed a field goal in the second half. They did miss a field goal. Saints do have a good defense. They probably tightened up a bit. But the Vikings, every game this year is a one-score game. The Saints still could have had a Hail Mary at the end to try to tie it. It was luckily knocked away. But yeah, 11-0 last year in one-score game, 6-4 every game this year. Kevin O'Connell is 2-4 in games, not decided by a score or less.
Actually, a fun stat that I saw with the Vikings, just to jump on this one real fast. Zach Wilson has 5 total touchdowns this entire season. Dobby Dimes has 5 total touchdowns with the Vikings.
That's two games. Or 1.75 games, because he didn't play in the first quarter in Atlanta.
Robert Saleh says there's no reason why. He's getting better. There's no reason to try Trevor Siemian at all.
I just feel like you got to give it up to Hockenson this game. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The guy showed up.
He was questionable coming in, and I think he had the most receptions and yards by a tight end in one half in NFL history in that game.
Yeah, 17 receptions, 134 yards with a TD. Currently, right now, this season, I think he's sitting on over 685 yards with 4 TDs on the season. So the guy is killing it right now. Even though their quarterback situation has kind of been bouncing around, Dobby Dimes might be the truth.
The truth? Can we say it?
Was there any truth to how when Dobby Dimes hits Hockenson for all the passes, he would get the passes, but he'd get hit, and his foot would be almost in his ear because he's like crumpled down in like he's most prone like passing plays?
I didn't see that in that many of them.
I saw that once.
Okay,
that
once or twice. I mean, he's you know, when you're tight end, you're catching the ball over the middle. You're going to be you got that safety coming at you full speed, ready to light you up. He gets hit a lot, but he's a big dude. He's got good hands, and yeah, that touchdown they scored right before the halftime to make it 24-3, thing of beauty, beautiful pass, just got it over the linebackers, perfectly into Hockenson. He got hit at the 1, fell into the end zone.
I mean, I'll say the Jags were the hottest team coming into last week with 5 wins in a row. The Vikings are now the hottest team in the NFL with 5 wins in a row.
This is true. And there are 2 teams with a 3-game winning streak, one of them being the Broncos. Just throwing that out there.
What happened 5 weeks ago, at the beginning of this winning streak, what happened with the Vikings? I feel
they lost to the Chiefs because of the refs. I don't know. What are we getting at?
Yeah. Always the refs.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to feel good to have a Russian quarterback again, though, right?
Never really had one. I mean, Bridgewater would get out of the pocket sometimes. You know, Brett Favre, that one year he was good for the Vikings, he'd roll out a lot. But to have, like, a quarterback – but when he rushes, too, it's a good move. Like, it's not – and he's not taking big hits. Like, he's going out of bounds. He's getting what he can. He's going to – survive the next play, like that touchdown.
Exactly. Awesome. I think he stays in the pocket when he needs to, mm-hmm. but he's not afraid to get outside of the pocket and make a run happen.
100%.
And that is going to open up so many options for your offense. I mean, you're talking running game, you're talking passing game, you're talking short passes, long passes, deep passes. Everything like that is going to open up with having a rushing quarterback that can get outside of the pocket because someone's got to be on that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're putting someone on him, you're taking someone else off the field.
So. You're already rushing four, then you're going to have one guy on there, you only got six back there. I mean, you're going to get a matchup you like with like a one-on-one coverage type sort of thing. And even when he rolls out, he's not looking to run. Like, in the pocket, look, not there, let's go out here. And, like, still looking downfield. Like, he found Hockenson on like a third and four on one of the first drives of the game. And
this is without Jefferson.
He might be back this week.
Without Jefferson.
Allegedly.
JJ should be back in the next game or two, so we'll see what happens. But yes, I am sort of in love with Dobby Dimes.
He's already talking about shaving his eyebrow, guys.
Yeah, that's right. I will shave my eyebrows if the Vikings win the Super Bowl. And I will dye my hair purple, and I will get some Viking horn.
If they just win their division by that point.
The what?
If they win the division, you should
No. They need to win the Super Bowl. That is the only way I do it. I'll shave both eyebrows. You heard it here.
What if they make the Super Bowl?
You know what? I've never seen that in my life. No, they have to win it. If I'm going to go around with no eyebrows, they have to win the Super Bowl. No eyebrows.
You gave him so much things to think about. Purple oh, my hair. Gosh.
And I'm going to have the horns on the side, like just like the helmet.
We're going to break them down if they make the Super Bowl by this point.
Maybe. We'll talk about that. Maybe. I don't think you can change.
He'll shave something else.
Moving on.
He'll shave something else.
One of the more entertaining games early on last week, Texans at Bengals. Texans are, man, C.J. Stroud getting it done. High-scoring second half. Both teams scored 20 points in the second half. But Stroud just keeps, like, what can you say about him? He's good.
He's real good. I mean, there's been conversation about him, like, in the MVP talks right now. Texans are 5-4.
Front runner at offensive rookie of the year.
I don't think there's a question right now on offensive rookie of the year. I would challenge you to find one offensive rookie in the NFL. Are you going to eat that more? Are you serious?
He's just snacking on some disgusting. Spice.
Keep talking.
C.J. Stroud is 100% like the front runner for the offensive rookie of the year. I'm saying he's in the conversation right now for MVP. If the Texans a winning record, if the Texans were to
make the playoffs,
let's say they jump the Jaguars by this point, they're a game behind them. Let's say they jump the Jaguars by this point, like won the AFC South, and the AFC South actually looking much more competitive than what it did at the beginning of the season. But
big time.
The Colts are 5-5, Texans 5-4, Jags are 6-3. If the Texans were to win that and give me one playoff game, you're telling me right now that C.J. Stroud isn't the talks for like an MVP candidate? If he continues on what he's doing right now.
I could see. I mean, yeah, if that happens with what they have around. And I heard, Tank Dell, was he a teammate of Stroud in college?
I don't think so.
I thought I heard something, like, they actually asked, maybe I'm wrong about this, but they actually asked C.J. Stroud, and he's like, you should get Tank Dell and draft him. Like, it might have been a day two thing, like, they introduced him to the organization after day one, and he's like, kind of gave his 2 cents, and they did, and he's been putting up some numbers as well. Like, he's already, like, you know, doing some scouting for him as well.
Tank Dell went to the University of Houston. Where he went. So not even close by that point. But, that's actually pretty interesting that he would have been like, yo, this is the dude.
Thought I heard that. Like, you know, I've been hearing a lot. I've been pretty drunk for the last, like, 3-4 weeks. So I'm finally, you know, sober for 2 days straight. And, you know,
solid reporting out here. Big time. Tackles.
It's nothing but professionalism here.
Chris has something to say there.
I think overall it was a great game. I think both quarterbacks showed up. Burrow did have some interception trouble. I think the overall reason the Bengals lost this game is they did not establish a running game. I don't think Mixon was in the mix as much as he should have been.
Nice.
I think he only had like 46 yards. He did get a TD, but they weren't running the ball as much as they should have. I mean, look at Singletary. Singletary had over 150 yards, destroyed it with a touchdown. So they were on point. So they were depending a little too much on Burrow. Not establishing the running game. I think that's what hurt them in the long run.
So, Jimmy G, too much Duval boy, did some stat checking. And Stroud and Dell were at the NFL scouting combine. And they became friends and inseparable since being drafted in the spring. And that's where their connection came from.
No, okay,
so that, maybe that's where you heard it from.
So I knew part of that was true. I just didn't, you know, give you the whole
thing. I mean, at the end of the day, C.J. Stroud's balling out right now. If you're a Panthers fan, you got to be tearing your head up. And I'm sorry to even mention that to you, man. I apologize. It's just, I mean, it's... I think the biggest thing was, I mean, like, there was so much hype on Will Levis and Bryce Young coming out of this draft. I think C.J. Stroud was kind of the one that people kind of questioned coming out of this draft sometimes. I mean, Ohio State quarterbacks have kind of fallen really short coming out of the draft recently. And watching him ball out right now, I kind of hate it because, you know, Texans. But I love watching his young man come out there and just do his thing. I mean, he's got a receiving core around him that's better than Bryce Young does. He's got an offensive line around him that's better than Bryce Young does. So, like, to compare them right now is apples and oranges. Like, it's not a fair comparison. And even then, head coaching by this point, we're talking about D'Amico Ryan versus Frank Reich. I'm going to take D'Amico Ryan over that as well. So, I mean, even head coaching by that point kind of comes into play. So I'm still not giving up on Bryce Young. I mean, I think that the Panthers still have a long time to, like, build around him. But, I mean, give credit where credit's due for the young man balling out right now.
Another awesome game from the morning. Browns at Ravens. That AFC, those AFC North teams, when they play each other, those are some of the funnest games to watch. Browns jumped out to a quick lead, very quick lead. I think they were up 14-0 just like that.
The Ravens.
Or the Ravens, that's what I said, if or meant to say. But the Browns just keep clawing their way back into this and just, like, way too many field goals early on. Finally, they get a Kareem Hunt touchdown, make it a one-score game. And then again, to start the fourth quarter, you got the Ravens up by two scores, and then, boom, what's his nuts at quarterback for the Browns? We don't want to say his name. But he threw a touchdown pass, and then that 34-yard interception return by Greg Newsome. And if they did the biggest, the browniest thing of all time, miss the extra point. So they're down by one, but then with no time left, they get into field goal range, and the Browns win. And it sucks because, or it's too bad for that quarterback guy because he might be out for the year.
Oh.
We'll get there in a second.
Shall we pour on? No, we shouldn't pour.
Oh, I will pour on. Chris, anything on this game?
I think it's going to go back to running the ball. Like, you know, Lamar Jackson can't be the only person getting outside of the pocket, like, running the ball and making things happen. You know, I think he had 41 yards. Next person had was Mitchell, who had 34 yards. So we know Lamar Jackson can get outside of the pocket. We know he can sling the ball down there when he needs to. But the thing is, like, if you're not establishing a run game and you're, like, one-sided on the ball, they're going to, like, key up on that. And I think that was one of the biggest things for them. I think, you know, they got out to a quick lead, and then the Browns just scraped their way back into this game and ended up winning it with a couple field goals.
I think it's really interesting to think about the Nick Chubb injury on this one because, you know, Kareem Hunt might not have gotten signed if Nick Chubb doesn't go down. Jerome Ford might have never have gone off the way he's going off right now if Nick Chubb doesn't go down. And once again, Nick Chubb's injury was a horrific injury. Like, I mean, I hope that he's okay, everything like that. But it's interesting to watch how the Browns have been able to kind of supplement him moving forward by getting these two running backs in tandem. Now, the one thing I do want to say, unless anyone has anything else to say about this game, I've never been happier for an injury on a pro football player in my entire life than he who shall not be named going down.
I'm shocked.
Will go down as one of the worst signings. I mean, he wasn't great before the injury. He's not going to be great without him. He had some moments of brilliance in this game. I did see some really good passes in this game. It could not happen to a better person to go down with an injury in this one. Once again, not cheering for it. Not sad about it, is what I'll really say. But it's going to be interesting to watch the Browns moving forward because they have that rookie, something Robertson Thompson, some of that.
Yeah, something hyphen something.
It's a lot of names. And PJ Walker. I don't know why they're not starting him. They're going to start the rookie instead. I like PJ Walker in this one. I think PJ Walker could run this offense with this running game and the wide receivers they have. They have the number 2 ranked defense in the NFL right now. So just get someone competent out there that's run an NFL offensive before, as opposed to the rookie that they're going to throw out there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they go, because they're 6-3 right now. They just beat the team who's in number one. So, you know, like, him who should not be named going down is probably a big deal for them. But, you know, he wasn't, like,
doing that much.
The guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it, he wasn't the guy. So maybe they continue with this offense. Maybe that rookie shows up and shows out. Who knows? But they're not out of this division right now.
Oh, no, can, not at all.
Everybody's in this division.
Yeah. So they're right there. As long as they can keep doing what they've been doing, even with that guy, like, there's still a possibility they might be able to make it happen and, you know, stay close in this division for sure.
The Steelers also, they beat the Packers in a very sloppy game. Timmy and I had a little thing going on where it's the first time I will ever cheer for the Steelers this season. And he said it's the only time he will cheer for the Packers this year. Pretty sloppy game, a lot of field goals.
Interesting.
The Steelers, in my opinion, are the worst 6-3 team in the, ever.
Hands Thank down. You. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Pittsburgh like, is the worst 6-3 team. Every time I see the record, I'm like, oh, they got to be like 500 or worse. Like, how are they 6-3?
When we were talking about the games that happened last week, once again, didn't watch a lot of them. I watched a lot of highlights out of everything like that because we were at the game, so couldn't watch a lot of them. I saw the Steelers at 6-3. There is no way that that team should ever be 6-3 outside of like some like lucky wins, some good ref calls, or that. I mean, if you talk to Steelers fans, apparently the Jaguars won because of the refs, but
allegedly.
Boo hoo. I feel bad for Steelers fans crying about the refs. Kenny Pickett is an absolute terrible quarterback. Terrible quarterback.
He's no Dobby Dimes.
He's no Dobby Dimes.
Well, the only team of note I think they beat was Baltimore. And
that was a sloppy game. Yeah, like that was just a
sloppy game as well.
One of those AFC North like punch in the face kind of games.
I feel like they've definitely had some easy wins, right? So yeah, they got lucky against Baltimore for sure. But,
I mean, they did beat Browns week two, but I do believe that he who shall not be. Oh, he did play that game. That was the one where he threw the interception backwards.
Oh yeah,
that was a great one.
So no, they're not great.
So the two team
doesn't
wins.
Look great. They're like their offense doesn't look great. So I don't understand why they're 6-3 right now, but they are.
Mike Tomlin, man. You know, I think you can't overlook that coach. Yeah, Mike Tomlin.
You gotta go with Tomlin.
I hear the Steelers approach this game where they're just gonna run the ball down Green Bay's throats because they couldn't stop it, and everything else kind of suffered.
Oh, yeah.
Pickett 126 yards passing. That may be the indication of why you see the stats like this. But overall, that's Steelers team.
Also, they are playing Love, who did not look good. I don't know what happened with this guy, but he can't throw the ball over 20 yards now. Like, in almost every single pass I see him do over 20 yards, it's either 10 yards pass or, like, 5 yards, like, out of bounds.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what's going on there, but he completely fell off. Like, he dropped off so hard. From starting, I think, with like one or two, like three touchdown games or something like that.
Might have, Was that even this year or was that like last year?
He started really good. Like,
It's just blowing my mind how quickly like this guy has fallen off. So,
So for the rest of the games, I didn't watch much. I watched a lot of that Lions-Chargers game. Highest scoring game of the week. That was just back and forth. That was a lot of fun to watch at the bar with. Like, there were 3 Lions fans and a ton of Charger fans in there.
So, was there not defense able to stop either?
Pretty much. Okay. So, the Lions jumped off, I want to say, to a 24 to, like, 10 lead. They had, like, a 2-touchdown lead early on. Chargers came back, tied it. But then it's, like, the second half, like, there probably were punts in the game. I don't remember clearly, but it was, like, a lot, like, touchdown. And I told somebody, I'm like, whoever has the ball last is going to win this game. Sure enough, Detroit had it, kept driving down the field, got into field goal range, killed the clock, kicked the field goal with no time remaining, and won it by those 3 points. But yeah, 41-38. That was highest scoring game. Did you guys watch that game at all in Jacksonville?
No, I caught like half of it. It was like on the TV, but they mostly had the Cowboys-Giants game, which there's not a lot to talk about that outside of Tony Pollard not scoring. I didn't really watch football until Sunday night that end.
Yeah, I don't know. there are some interesting play calls going on in that game where, like, I'm not going to throw out there, like, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but there was definitely some interesting play calls going on in that game. But it was definitely entertaining, high scoring on both sides. They're running, passing ball all over the place, which is, you know, in my opinion, good football. It's something like you like to see. So it was a good game up until the end for me.
Yeah, I was cheering for the Chargers big time.
Yeah.
Going to Sunday night, unless anyone wants to talk about the Kami Seahawks.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I also didn't watch the Sunday night game because it was the Jets and Raiders, and I was like,
eh. Yeah, no, it was a Sam Howell game for sure. I mean, he showed up that game. You know, he had 312 yards, three TDs. Robinson kind of went off that game, too. I mean, he was just hitting this guy all over the field. Geno wasn't bad. I still feel like they're underutilizing Metcalf, even though he had like 98 yards on this game. I just feel like they're not going to him as much as they did, say, last year, where on any given play, they could just hit this guy deep and he's taking off and he's going to be able to get a touchdown. I feel like they're getting away from that a little bit. They're hitting up Tyler Lockett more, which is great. You know, he's getting yards and stuff like that. But the deep threat needs to be there for Seattle. And I feel like they're getting away from that. And until they bring that back, they're going to be in a little trouble because, you know, Walker's putting up points, but, like, he's not, like, running over people right now. So you gotta figure out a way to, like, get touchdowns and win games. And I don't think they're quite doing that right now, even though they're 6-3. They got to get back to the deep ball.
I will briefly talk about Jets Raiders. We watched that game on Sunday night. That was one of the worst games in football I've watched all season. There were so many penalties. The game just kept lasting. I think there were like 11 punts in the first half. It was such a terrible game.
They could have flexed out of
it. I'm glad it wasn't the Jags 49ers by this point. Zach Wilson, once again, I know we've talked about him before. I still don't think he is the issue there. I think there's a lot more going on. He's not great. He's not fantastic. But, I mean, like, it's like getting a Gardner Minshew in there. It's like getting someone who's adequate enough to, like, you know, run the offense that you have by that point and who isn't terrible. The Raiders came out hot because, I mean, they're fighting for their coach by this point. Like, they have new blood in them. Josh Jacobs had a great game. Davante Adams did pretty well. It was a kicker game. It was a lot of kicker in that game. It wasn't great. And Monday Night Football, man, all I could say is how far have the Bills fallen?
And the Bills, but Josh Allen specifically, he is so sloppy with the ball. Like, I watched the first quarter, I was, you know, setting up, getting ready for our finale at the bar, and I'm like, I think the first play or second play was a turnover. I don't know if it was a fumbled snap, fumbled handoff or whatever, but it was, and then, I don't know, how many turnovers did he have in that game? Did he have three?
I think it's five.
Five?
It's four or five.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's four.
I'm looking up.
And then
he had two interceptions.
And then the Bills shoot themselves in the foot by having 12 men on the field on a missed field goal, which would have ended the game where they won 22-21.
True story. Do you know who the 12th man on the field was?
Oh, don't say it.
DeMar Hamlin was the 12th man on the field for that kick.
Oh, he wasn't supposed to be out there?
No, he was not.
There's
this TikTok, and I mean, you guys can find it yourselves. But this point, there's this TikTok that exists out there. It's like some like war movie where like Tobey Maguire comes back and like he was like a war guy, but like mom has already moved on with a best friend, yada yada. And the daughter just looks at Tobey Maguire and says, "Why can't she just stay dead?" And that's essentially what the Bills fans were saying about DeMar Hamlin being the 12th man in the field. It was very uncomfortable to watch. But it was kind of funny and dark humor by that point. No, yeah, DeMar Hamlin was the 12th man on the field for the kick. He missed. Lutz missed the kick. He already had one doink. Doink. He had one doink earlier in the game. He missed the kick. 12th man on the field, gets him 5 yards closer, makes the kick. They win the game.
Yeah. I don't know whether Josh Allen wants to just not be smart with his plays and not just, and because I hear on one podcast, like, he just wants to tell him to relax, and he just completely just loses all sensibility and just does something stupid each and every time. And someone thought Brian Daboll coached it out of him until he came back again. And maybe he's just that stupid of a quarterback. He can't get it.
No, I just feel like Josh Allen thinks he's better than what he is, to be honest. I think he can. He thinks he can move like someone like Patrick Mahomes or get outside of the pocket and run and throw like something like that. You know, like cross-body passes and stuff like that. He get in situations where he puts himself in instead of throwing the ball away or set it drop back in the pocket. He gets outside of the pocket and he tries to make plays happen, and he's just not that guy. He's not that guy. I mean, he's done it in the past. He's pulled it out in certain situations, but he's not pulling that out every Sunday. And he just needs to understand, you're not going to do that every Sunday. You're going to make those plays happen in good situations, as a good quarterback should, but it shouldn't be like every situation throughout the entire game.
So I'm going to say right now, this is the beginning of the end of whatever run the Bills thought they had. They already fired their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, this week.
Can I just say, I wanted to ask about that. Do you put that blame on Ken Dorsey, or is that on Josh Allen doing what he does?
Now that's what I was about to say. So Ken Dorsey, by this point, like put the play calling out there. But however, Josh Allen, the reason Josh Allen was so good, the reason why he's on the Madden cover, the reason why he's doing the stuff, the reason why he has the stats he has is because those plays were completed, those plays were done when he did it. And I agree with you partially on that because he has the confidence in himself to be able to do that. Now, it's failed this season thus far. He has the most turnovers, I think, for the past like 4 years, I think, in the NFL. Like, he has the most turnovers. When he makes those plays, they're incredible. Now, he's not the one making those plays because, like, Stephon Diggs, like, how many times have we watched him, like, shuck out of, like, three tackles by that point, like, take the ball, like, 60 yards, stuff like that? Josh Allen has the confidence to put it in the, like, the playmaker's hands, and I love that ability about him. I wish Trevor Lawrence would do it more. I wish more quarterbacks would do that more. What I'm saying is that it's not working right now.
What I'm saying is there's a difference between confidence and skill. Big difference for me. So, like, having confidence is one thing, that's fine. Having the skill to make it happen is another thing. Like you were saying, he'll put it up there and his receivers will make the play happen. I just don't think he has enough skill to back up his confidence.
I disagree 100%. I'm going to finish up real fast. I know we're on the end. My biggest issue with Josh Allen is just simple calls. I mean, the fumble that he had with James Cook at the end of the game where he just dropped the ball before he even put it in his chest. That's where you got to fix Josh Allen. It's the simple stuff is where you got to fix him right now. Once you fix that, you fix the confidence level, he'll be back to what he's at.
It was 3 total turnovers on Josh Allen that game.
And that'll do it for our Week 10 recap. We're going to be back here in a moment, and we'll go over our Week 11 picks. Double doinks and sackles.
Let's take a break and listen to some commercials.
Hey, Trav. I'm trying to remember what was our best moment, our best place to go to in Jacksonville. What was it?
Well, Andrew, I don't know if it's the best place that we can say we went to, but I'll say that McBee's Lounge out in Rincon de Central America over off 6217 St. Augustine Road in Jacksonville, Florida, 32217, is a great dive bar to go to. For the demise of Gillies, this place had a plethora of pool tables, if you would, lots of gambling going on, and plenty of smoke in the atmosphere, because apparently you can still smoke there. Walk out smelling like an ashtray, but feeling good because you sang some great karaoke. McBee's Lounge. The light might not be on when we get there, but it might be on when we leave.
And we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
Week 11 is right around the corner, and we are going to start off with some Thursday night football. We got the Bengals traveling to Baltimore, taking on them Ravens. Again, AFC North games are some of the most entertaining football games, especially this year. I mean, they have been for years and years, but Baltimore, a 3.5-point favorite at home. I don't know what to think about either team. They're, like, super hot, super cold. They kind of go back and forth. I am going to take the Ravens to win this, but I think it's going to be under that 3.5. I think it's going to be a close game that'll come down to a Justin Tucker field goal. And I say the Ravens win this game. I'll even say by 20-17.
Ooh. I feel like I should really pick the Ravens in this game because they have more to prove than the Bengals right now. But I'm picking the Bengals in this game. I feel like they are... If the Bengals are going to do something this year, they can't just like go on another losing streak. So
I mean, the Bengals have a ton to prove.
Yeah. I'm picking the Bengals on this because I'm going a little opposite of Andrew because I think this is a big moment for them. I think for them to step up and win this game is saying they're back. They're ready to do this. They're beating some of the best teams in the league. And I think this is going to be a big moment for them when they win this game.
I'm taking the Bengals as well. Also kind of opposite what Andrew was saying. I think had the Bengals won last week, they'd be 6-3 right now. A win would have put them right with the Ravens at 7-4 each this week. This game matters a ton to the Bengals. You can't drop to 5-5 in the division. You'd be the only team without a winning record in the AFC North, even regardless of what happens in the rest of the league this year. The Bengals have to win this game. This is a must-win game for them to keep a winning record and keep in on the AFC North.
And I'm pretty sure they are 0-2 in the division. So, yeah, losing this game to go to drop to 0-3 in the division if you're the Bengals.
There's no T. Higgins on there. They don't have T. Higgins in this game. It's going to be a tough game.
It is. That's why I'm picking the Ravens. All right, moving on to Sunday. We're sticking with the AFC North. Steelers at Browns. Browns, 1-point favorites in this game. They are starting...
Dorian Thompson Robinson, something like
Dorian,
that.
Okay. I'm going to take the Steelers in this one on the road. I think it is going to be a very sloppy game offensively. I think both defenses are going to score touchdowns in this game. But I'm going to say the Steelers come out on top in a very sloppy and entertaining game.
Yeah, I like the defenses in this game and... maybe just a little bit of the Steelers' offense. So give me the Steelers to win this game.
I'm a little worried about the Browns' running game in this game right here. But I think the Pittsburgh offense might be able to figure out to get another win. Who knows how they're doing it? You know, who am I to question it? I say they win this game.
I think this game is in Pittsburgh. I'm going to take Pittsburgh for it, but it's in Cleveland. I don't believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers are as good as a 6-3 record. And once again, that was kind of my coin flip on this one. But being in Cleveland, that defense is going to show up. I don't think Pittsburgh's offense is going to have much to say about it. Cleveland has to do just enough to win this game.
Kaboom. Bears at Lions. Gross. 7.5 points. I think that seems low for Detroit being favored. 7.5 the way they've been playing lately. At 7-2 versus 3-7 in Detroit. Give me the Lions all day. I think they are going to shellack the Bears.
I like the Lions as well, but Justin Fields will be back in this game. And it's not going to be that easy, but it's going to. I think the Lions will have it made for 7.5 cover. Yeah. Lions.
You know, I went with Detroit to win and cover this game. You know, when Fields back, he's shown some points of magic this year. Not much, but they've been able to do it. Like, I still think they have a pretty good offense. I think their running game is a little beat up right now, but I think their offense is still pretty solid. I'm going to say Detroit wins this, but Chicago covers.
You know, Chris, I've been kind of thinking about Justin Fields getting back as well. I still think Detroit wins this game, but I think I'm with you on this one. It says that the Bears will cover the 7.5.
Up next, we got the Chargers of Los Angeles traveling to one of the worst cities in the world, Green Bay, taking on the Packers.
It was lovely out there.
Lovely. I mean, I've never been, so I don't know. I've only heard bad things.
So, lovely things about the city.
I heard you were there as a child.
I heard everyone walking around with cheese hats on. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan.
So the Chargers are 3-point favorites on the road. This game's going to be a little chilly. We're talking like low to mid 40s maybe for kickoff, maybe upper 30s. I just don't know how I feel about the Southern California team going up there. Early game, I kind of like the Packers in this one. I feel gross saying that. I feel extremely gross. But I'm going to say the Packers get it done and beat the Chargers. Oh, gross.
Yeah, see.
Hey, that's what I think. I'm trying to think with my head and not my heart. That's all I'm trying to do here.
Yeah, that's why I picked the Chargers in this game, because I don't think the Packers are that team to be able to, like, upset the Chargers on a 3-point. Packers are a home underdog. Convention would say to pick the Packers if they're a home underdog, but this Packer team is not great. Give me the Chargers.
I think it's going to come down to offense this game, which offense can put up the most points. I think the Chargers has the better offense currently. I think Love is like on a downward spiral right now. He's just not showing up for games. So I say the Chargers offense outcompetes the Green Bay offense, and that gives them the win. So Chargers win and cover 3 points.
And I mean, I'm not a believer in the Chargers right now. I don't think the coaching is doing its job. If this was in L.A., it wouldn't matter because the Packers fans would still be there. But being in Green Bay, having the Chargers travel across the country, I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers in this one.
We got Raiders at Dolphins up next. Biggest spread of the week. 13.5-point favorites for the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a very...
Mercurial team.
A what?
Mercurial team.
That's a good word. Sure, let's go with that.
Did you know what that means?
I think I do. They look really, really good. Like, unstoppable. I mean, they were the greatest show on surf earlier in the year.
That's well done, actually.
Yeah. And but then they put up these... There's something about Tua. He's like, if he's a little off, like, the whole system breaks down. And it depends on what kind of... If he's going to be on or not. So, like, I'm going to take the Dolphins at home to beat the Raiders, obviously. But I think Raiders will cover. That's a big spread. And just with the Dolphins, I mean, if the Dolphins, you know, play a complete game, sure, they could do that. But I don't see that happening. So I'm going to say Dolphins win and the Raiders cover.
Ever since Antonio Pierce took over this team and, like, they've had the changes in the upper management and stuff, I feel like the Raiders defense has played pretty well. Better than I expect them to. And that's why that 13.5 spread is way too much. It might come close to it, but yeah, I have the Dolphins to win this, but the Raiders maybe will be able to keep that under 13.5.
I don't see that at all. I think this is going to be another big game for the Raiders. Or Raiders. Miami. I think they put up some big numbers so far this year. Yeah, they were split back in early in the year. They don't quite have that right now, but I really don't think it matters. I think their offensive weapons are insane right now. I think this is going to be another huge game for Miami, and they're going to decimate the Raiders.
So my biggest issue with this game right now is that Miami has dominated, like, bad teams. Essentially, if you win a record, Miami's going to struggle against you. The Raiders are 5-5. They're 500. So it's kind of a coin flip to see how the Dolphins are going to show up. They could be great. They could be... Eh. I'm feeling the Raiders vibe right now. Like, honestly, there's a big part of me that I kind of want to pick the Raiders, like an open upset, like make that my hot pick of the week. However, I think the Dolphins still win this game, but it's going to be so much closer than 13.5 points. I think the Raiders might come down and actually have a chance to win this game at the end of it.
Yowzas. Up next, we are going Giants at Commies. Commies 8.5-point favorites. So with this game, two very bad teams, two teams that played each other close the first time they met. I think 8.5 is just way too high. I will take the Commies to win because they are the better team. However, they're not good enough to win by 8.5. Give me the Commies, but the Giants cover.
I like the Commies with how they were able to, how Howell's able to move the ball, I guess, last week. And this Giants team, I don't even see the defense doing enough to stop in the Commies. I feel like a 10-point win by the Commies is at least what will happen. So, yeah, give me Commies to win and cover.
Yeah, I think Washington looked great last week against Seattle. I don't see them changing anything going into this week. They're playing an easier team by far. So, yeah, I think they're going to roll in here and get these 8.5 easy.
I believe that the Commies can win this game, but I think divisional games are just always kind of tough on that one. I don't think the Giants are a good team. The Commies aren't that much better. So give the Cowboys a win, but the Giants will cover that 8.5.
Cowboys at Panthers. Dallas, 10.5-point favorites as road warriors. I'm just going to say it. Don't have to go into it too much. Cowboys destroy the Panthers. Win by at least 2 touchdowns.
I agree.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. We got another divisional game here with the Titans going to Jacksonville. Taking on the Jaguars. Jacksonville, 7-point favorites. So for this game, I think Jacksonville is, especially on paper, the better team of the two. However, Jacksonville, sometimes on offense, they just seem to, the offensive line is struggling a bit. And I think the Titans can do enough to keep it close. I'm going to take Jacksonville to win this game. However, the Titans will keep it close and cover those 7 points.
I would feel like this is a close game, rivalry game. But Will Levis has regressed a little bit, and I don't know whether or not this Tennessee team is able to kind of keep up with the points, because the Jaguars definitely are capable of scoring that. I pick the Jaguars to win this and cover it. I just feel like Tennessee is not in the right state of mind with their offense is kind of disorganized. Whether Henry's going to have like a full complement of carries or not, what's going to happen? Yeah, give me the Jaguars to win this and cover.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville front line on offense is pretty weak. And you can see it whenever Trevor Lawrence is getting pressured or when he's getting sacked. It's always a tough game. I don't think Tennessee has enough to be able to do the same thing as San Francisco last week, per se. And if you give Trevor Lawrence some time, I think he's proved this year he's able to make the passes, especially with Etienne in the background. Being able to run the ball like he's done this season, I say Jacksonville take this game, and they're going to be able to win it.
Part of me wants to switch my pick for the spread on this one. I do know that Doug Peterson this season now is currently 6-3 against the spread. The 3 games he's lost have been the games they've lost. I do not believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to lose this game. But I don't know if they're going to cover it. It's just a division game. Once again, it's hard to pick it. Give me Jacksonville to win. Give me Tennessee to cover. I don't want to do that. I feel like I want to take Tennessee to cover, but it's fine. We're good.
All right, final morning game will be the Cardinals at the Texans, the surprise team of the year by far. Houston getting it done, 5-4 through 9 games, 5-point favorites at home against the Kyler Murray-led Cardinals. I don't care that Kyler Murray's out there. I think Houston goes out, home crowd, and they beat the Cardinals, and they cover that spread no problem. C.J. Stroud looking pretty awesome. Texans.
This game has the makings of a shootout. We will get into that a little bit later, but I will pick the Texans to win and cover this. It's going to be a game, this one.
Yeah, I don't know about a shootout. I don't know if Kyler Murray is a shootout type person. He might get outside of the pocket and run for a couple yards, get a couple touchdowns, but I don't know about a shootout.
I don't know if he runs. It's more of a scamper.
A little scamper.
Yeah.
It's more like a child that just stole ice cream. Yep.
A little chipmunk out there. But I don't know. Houston's been looking good. CJ's been out there putting up the points. They're still looking great. I think Houston's got this, regardless of whether or not Kyler Murray's back or if Dobby Downs was still in the mix back there. I'm going to say Houston wins this and covers.
I don't know what I mean. Never underestimate a team that's like playing with something under him. I think Kyler Murray's playing for his career right now. I think if he has a good showing in the second half of the season, then he's probably still the Cardinals quarterback next year. If they don't and they continue to lose, I think the Cardinals end up drafting somebody else in the top of the draft, and Kyler Murray is off into the sunrise, sunset. Give me the Arizona Cardinals to upset the Houston Texans this week.
In the afternoon games, up first, we have the Buccaneers at the 49ers. 11.5-point favorites for San Francisco. Yeah, I'm going with the Niners to just completely dominate this game. 11.5 is a new problem. Niners defense will shut down Baker and company, and maybe McCaffrey will start his new touchdown streak in this week.
Oh, that's right. Their defense has improved. I did pick the Niners to win, but the Bucks to cover. I'm going to change that to Niners cover now.
Oh, yeah.
You convinced me.
Did I persuade you?
I forgot there about the changes in defense
there
and stuff.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay is not as good as Jacksonville. You saw what they did against Jacksonville last week. I think they're going to have no problem against Tampa Bay. I think San Francisco 11.5 points. Easy this week.
I'd go out on a limb to say that I don't think the Bucs score more than 3 points in this game.
Dollar bet?
No. But I feel pretty strongly about it regardless. The Niners take this game regardless.
All right, we got Jets at Bills. 4-5 versus 5-5. Buffalo a 7-point favorite at home. We talked a lot about Buffalo in the first part of this segment. Or this episode, and the Bills going against a very good Jets defense, a divisional rival who knows them well. I think the Bills are going to end up winning this game, but the Jets will keep this close. That defense is going to fight their way through this, and Zach Wilson just still don't have any confidence in him. Never will, never have. Give me the Bills, but it'll be a close one. The Jets cover.
Pretty sure in this game the Bills are going to press that running game until it happens. They got to actually do something a little different. Whether it's, I think, their new offensive coordinator, I forget his name exactly, is probably going to try to push that running game. The Jets will still have the Jets defense, so give me the Bills to win, but the Jets will cover that 7 points.
I don't see that happening. I mean, if the Buffalo can establish a running game and give Allen a little more time in the pocket to make some decisions instead of getting outside of the pocket and just shuffling the ball out, I see the Buffalo Bills as a way better team that way. But regardless, against the Jets right now, I think Buffalo carries these 7 points pretty easily with the bad decision-making Josh Allen's had in the past few games.
J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 baby. Let's go for it. I'm going to say division rival. Coming in. Bills are still kind of reeling, figuring out what's going on with their offense coordinator situation. Give me the Jets to win this game and shock the world on Sunday.
Woo!
Well, they beat them the first time.
That is true. Final afternoon game. We're looking at the Seahawks at the Rams. Seattle only a 1-point favorite in this game as the road team, but I assumed it would be more. I like Seattle in this, no problem. The Rams are a weird team. They got some big names on their team, but they're just not getting it done. I think Geno and company will go in there and they'll put up more points, and that's all they got to do. Seattle wins and it sends the Rams home crying.
I have the Seahawks to win and cover this, but I really want to see Carson Wentz try to lead this Rams offense if Stafford isn't ready to play this game. I'm just curious what that would look like because I think it's maybe like a bad decision. But yeah, that's my side thought on this game. Seahawks win and cover.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rams offense is a little questionable right now. You don't know exactly what's going on. Is Stafford going to play? Is he not going to play? That type of thing. I don't know. I still think Seattle's a solid team. I think they've had some bad losses this year. They haven't started as well as they did last year, that's for sure. But I think their offense is still there. They got to make some decisions on how they're passing the ball, who they're passing the ball to. But regardless, I think Seattle comes out this week and they're able to take out the Rams.
All right, we're moving on to Sunday.
Do I get a pick?
After Travis makes his picks.
I'm just going to say real fast, the Matt Stafford doesn't have an injury designation going this game right now. So it sounds like Matt Stafford's going to play. The only person on offense that I'm curious about having an injury designation would be Puka Nacua, who has a questionable designation right now. I think at home in L.A., I think the Rams are going to take this game.
Ooh. Now you can go.
But is it a home game? Won't there be just as many Seahawks fans there as there are Ram fans?
Probably.
All right, we are going to move on to Sunday Night Football. Sorry, I was so excited to start talking about this game.
Yes.
We have the Minnesota Vikings, led by the Pastronaut himself, Josh Dobbs, going into the Mile High City, taking on the Broncos. Vikings on a 5-game winning streak. The Broncos on a 3-game winning streak. And the Broncos, 2.5-point favorites over the Vikings at home. Look, I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Josh Dobbs in purple. Like, with you get a good team around you, good weapons, a decent offensive line. I mean, people say they're like a top offensive line now. We haven't had one of those in a long time. I'm gonna say it. It's gonna be a one score game because that's what the Vikings do. It's gonna be a one score game. But the Josh Dobbs led Vikings are gonna win a 6th in a row and keep this train moving forward. Skull, baby!
Can't wait to see all the people that are designated return from IR to be in this game, too, to see how they'll play with Tommy Dimes as well.
Some guy named Justin Jefferson might be back.
Never heard of him. I like the Vikings in this game. But, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see all those units and see how much chemistry they have together. And I'm sure it's not bad because, as you know, Dobby Dimes didn't really practice the first game, so...
Practice? Yeah, you talk to me about practice?
No need for practice. Vikings win this game.
I got to go with the Dobby Dimes show. This kid is showing up. I mean, he didn't even know the offense, just plugged in, made it happen. He's just going to get better and better as he learns the playbook, as he learns his crew, as he learns how to play with these guys, especially if Jefferson is back, gives him a huge weapon out there. I'm going to say Minnesota wins this game by at least a score or more.
My heart wants to go with the Vikings, and that's what I originally picked. But my head's going to say no. I'm going to say the Broncos.
How dare you?
They have continually been showing up and kind of winning games that they should have been showing up on. Their playbook got leaked recently, the past 3 weeks ago. And they're 2-1 since that playbook got leaked. So give me the Broncos to come out at home. If this is in Minnesota, I'm going to take Minnesota. But give the Broncos at home to win this game. And cover.
Final game of the week. Monday Night Football. This is a big one. Super Bowl rematch from last year. We got the Eagles at the Chiefs. Chiefs looking at it as a 2.5-point favorite in this game. Both teams, I think it's the best two records in the NFL, 8-1 Eagles, 7-2 Chiefs. I think I am going to take those Chiefs to win at home. Both teams, offensively, they don't look as potent as they were in years past. But I think it's going to be a great game. I think it probably will just come down to a field goal, but I'm taking those Chiefs with the home field advantage.
I feel like the Eagles have more weapons than the Chiefs. The Chiefs still have quite a few wide receivers who haven't really shown their, maybe Rashee Rice maybe, but you still got Kadarius Toney. You got other people that just haven't seen to show anything yet. Eagles are more rounded, well-rounded team. That's why I picked the Eagles to win this game, get their revenge from the Super Bowl. I don't see the Chiefs having enough weapons to beat the Eagles.
I think you've seen some cracks in Mahomes' armor this year. I think there's been a couple games where, you've seen him panic. You've seen him not have the weapons he needed out there. You've seen some of the plays he made when he didn't have the weapons out there. I just feel like this is a year where we must see Mahomes kind of go on the decline, even though, they still have a great record. They're still playing well. But I don't think Mahomes is going to be able to compete with the Eagles like he did in the Super Bowl this past year. So I'm going to say the Eagles come out. They beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, give me the Eagles in this game. I just think they're a better team right now. And that's not to knock the Chiefs whatsoever. I think the Chiefs are a fantastic team. Does anyone take a guess on what the cheapest seat on Vivid Seats is right now for this game?
I'm going to say $375.
I'm going to go $275.
$420.
You said $375?
That is correct.
Chris is going to be the closest. It is $335. Oh, no, you're the closest.
I'm the closest.
Closest right there. $335, cheapest ticket this is a game. It's going to be a hell of a game, man. Over under, I think it's 48.5 points. 45.5 points. Give me the over on this game all day.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Dollar bet says it's over.
I'll take the dollar bet.
There you go.
I like that over.
We are on to the hot takes at this time. Tonight we will be consuming some Los Calientes barbacoa hot sauce. And sprinkled on top we got some sambal, like what, flakes, chips, what do you call them?
Some flakes.
Flakes, some like flakes, udang.
I got them from Malaysia.
They are from Malaysia, they got a little kick on it, so we're going to top them off. So we're going to quick do our hot takes. Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
And,
nice and crispy.
All right, not too hot.
Oh, yeah, really.
My hot take this week, even with Justin Fields back, Detroit wins by at least 20 points. I don't care if Fields is back. Detroit is on a tear.
My hot take is the Cardinals-Texans game will be the highest scoring game of the week.
I'm rolling with the Dobby Dimes show on this one. I'm going to say Dobby Dimes get 2 rushing touchdowns this week.
And I'm going with the Packers-Chargers being the highest scoring game of this week. Watch those defenses not play.
I can see it. I can see it. And that's going to wrap up this episode of Double Doinks and Sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
Carolina won't learn this season.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.